The gun sights were scattered over miles of desert, and I'd drive over to them and see them and possibly inoculate them.
Did you take sick parades?
I took the sick parades at Rear Div, which was about 6 miles, I think, behind the really fighting troops when it came to the battle. In fact, when I went out to listen to the guns, I couldn't hear them.
When That's the battle extraordinary.
Opened, the battle opened, and as far as I was concerned, there wasn't one going on.
And for
about a week, while our guns and with Major Henry Kelly and others were right up against the Germans, being shelled and dive bombed and machine gunned, I had quite a peaceful time carrying out ordinary sick parades of people. I think the only member of the Banks Regiment I saw during that time from the guns was somebody who had a septic toe. All the wounded were transferred straight to casualty clearing stations and went down the line that way.
Well, how did you pass your time then? Were you sort of sitting around waiting a lot of the time?
Yes, I was certainly. There was a good deal of waiting. One of the things was watching the bombers going over, with a lot of Boston bombers flying over, and you would see them go over, drop their bombs, and turn round and come back.
That's not enough to fill your day. What other things?
One going to the mess tent, getting one's meals, waiting round.
It was a waiting game.
It wasn't an awful lot to do at that time, as far as I can remember.
What kind of transport and equipment did you have as the medical officer then?
I had my own 1,500-weight truck driven by Gunner Barnes, who were still in contact with. He comes over to the island at times. And with that, I would drive round and see the guns. We also had a 30 hundredweight, which carried the medical equipment. There wasn't an awful lot of equipment, but all that was necessary to syringe ears and put on dressings, give pills and so forth.
How much were you on the move?
The 7th Armored Division were down in the south, making a diversion to try and keep the German armour dispersed. After a week, it had decided that they should be moved to the north to go through the gap and carry out the chase of the fleeing enemy. We all drove up to the north in more or less tail to bonnet, because the RAF had complete control of the skies. On one occasion, I made a note that we were rammed by one of our own tanks and put it out of action because it unfortunately got our sand channels tangled up in its tracks.
So you put one of our tanks out of action?
Unfortunately.
But the sand, of course, itself must have been a problem.
The sand, well, that's why we carried these channels. Much of the desert was quite hard, but you came across patches of sand, the back wheels dug in. You then got out with your spade, dug a slope upwards, stuck these metal channels underneath the wheels with about 6 feet long, drove over those. If you were lucky, you got away. Otherwise, you kept repeating this till you got out of the soft sand.
Did you come across booby traps?
Only when we were between the lines. We were moving through areas that had been shot over, fought over, and I noticed two rifles stuck in the ground, the bayonets, and strings going down to what I presume were mines in the ground.
So you occasionally then were able to visit the troops in the action areas, but that would be obviously not while action was taking place.
No, I don't think I would be welcomed there. I wouldn't have been particularly welcome myself.
Well, what sort of problems did you find in the quiet periods then? Did you find shell-shocked men?
No, the morale was very good.
General Montgomery in charge. How did his introduction of Montgomery into this situation change morale there? Did it improve morale? Did men look to him as the kind of leader that we now remember him as?
Yes, he established his position. We were a bit critical at first. His knees weren't brown like ours. He hadn't been in the desert. They were white. But one of his strong points was he always told us exactly what he was going to do. And of course it started the way he said it would, but with the enemy reacting, it didn't always finish as he said it would. We developed great confidence in him.
Of course, it's 50 years ago, and Henry Kelly and yourself now talk about this as if it were not terribly serious. I mean, you were all facing death, possibly at any moment, weren't you, at the time? Did this never seem to enter your minds?
No, I wonder whether we didn't have more danger on Manx roads at times.